When her husband, Alfred Stieglitz, died in 1946, Georgia O'Keeffe left New Mexico to settle his complicated finances in New York. She wound up having to stay in the city for 3 years. One of her few paintings from that disruptive period is A Memory of New Mexico, Spring, from 1948. Last month, the O'Keeffe Museum received a grant for a much-needed restoration of Spring. I'm Spencer Beckwith, and with me at KUNM is the museum's head of conservation, Dale Cronkrite. Dale, welcome.
Thank you, Spencer.
I assume that there are a number of works at the museum that are in need of restoration. Why use the grant for this particular painting?
There are a couple of reasons why this painting is a focus for trying to get outside support and outside assistance financially. First of all, it's big. The canvas is a little over 7 feet long and over 4 feet high. And so it's a big surface area. So you need lots of hands to tackle a job like that, regardless of what's going to be done. And so having support for more people over specific periods of activity was really important. And so that lends itself to a grant application. Second of all, though, this painting was one of the founding pieces in our collection. It was one that our founder, Ann Marion, had acquired for the museum to be part of its inaugural collection. It was a major work for O'Keeffe. It contained a number of her iconic images, the Pedernal Flint Top Mountain in the foreground, elk antlers, floating morning glories, and a large vertebra bone amidst a rather unusual sky for her. Second, O'Keeffe had kept that painting. That is, she had not exhibited the painting, as was her habit, at the downtown gallery following its completion, and kind of kept it herself, liked it, kept it in both her studio and in the Abiquiu, or in the Ghost Ranch house, while the Abiquiu home was being completed. And even after the Abiquiu home was completed in 49 and she was able to move in, she still didn't sell it for a long period of time. And so we were interested, why hang on to that painting? Why not exhibit that painting? In letters, she had expressed that she didn't think anybody really would be interested in that one, that she would likely be the only one who would be interested in that one. So we were interested in researching that a little bit further. And then finally, because it was part of our founding collection, it had been in almost every exhibition that the museum had had in Santa Fe, and it had traveled widely on traveling exhibitions. It was really starting to show the wear and tear from just normal vibration and handling and sort of fatigue deterioration that occurs to all art objects, but paintings in particular, when they're traveled broadly. So we had a little bit of research. We needed to know a lot more. We needed to put together some pieces of the puzzle. The piece had been previously conserved a couple of times over its history and weren't sure why that was, didn't have any, had very little documentation about that. So it was one of those projects where it was an important painting. We knew it was important because O'Keeffe had kept it. It was one of our founding pieces of the collection. It was getting typical fatigue damage and needed some attention. And yet there were all these questions about it being one of the few paintings, as you said, that she did during this period when she was settling Stieglitz's estate. And if she had limited time, why do such a huge work? Why try and tackle something of that scale? And then it seemed that a number of the materials were unique to Spring, that she had not used this type of canvas before. So there was just this multitude of questions surrounding the condition of this painting. And we felt that we could add significantly to the scholarship about Georgia O'Keeffe as a modern artist and her choice of materials at this pivotal moment in her life.
I think a lot of people will be surprised that part of your job, in addition to repairing or restoring a painting, is to do this kind of historical research on it.
Yeah.
And How do you go about that? Is it simply by looking at the materials that she used?
Certainly, that's where we start. Really understanding what the canvas is, what the primer is there underdrawing, what's the underdrawing done with, how detailed is the underdrawing, are there any other images that aren't in the finished product in the underdrawing, what are the paints, what are the binders, and then what are the kinds of evidence of previous repairs and restoration treatments. All those are the starting points to try and establish a sort of point in time condition. What conservators try and do really is that every work of art is sort of born with a list of physical, chemical, and mechanical characteristics. And as they age, they lose some percentage of those characteristics. So our job is to figure out what's been diminished, what's been lost, what's been obscured, and what is actively continuing to deteriorate. Once we understand that, then we can try and engineer the degree of recovery that those characteristics and properties require in order for us to be able to exhibit it safely, travel it safely, and loan it safely. And it's only that degree of recovery that we try and do. It's called the principle of minimal intervention. So that's the goal. To get at that goal, what we really need to understand is, had she used materials like this before? Do they have similar conditions? Can we learn anything about the way these materials and structures deteriorate by looking at earlier works or works that followed? Or are these materials sort of novel in some way? And does that reflect a change in her studio practice? And is that why they're deteriorating? Then we look at the history of the work, where it's traveled, who owned it, how often it was exhibited and where, history of repairs. We begin to look at her letters to other people to see if in the letters she describes executing the work or if she encountered any problems with the materials that weren't behaving properly. There are keys both within correspondence and within early photography that can tell you a lot about the original state of the work and the changes that it's gone through. So it really is a puzzle that has many pieces that we're trying to attack from multiple perspectives to try and inform us as completely as we can as to why the object before us in the condition that it's in has reached that point. That informs then exactly what we can then do to try and recover those properties, stabilize that damage, and reintegrate the work visually.
And the hope is that in that process, you will be able to advance knowledge about Georgia O'Keeffe herself as an artist and a painter.
Absolutely. And in that process, we often uncover information that not only reflects on Georgia O'Keeffe as a modern artist in America, but also the artists that she was working with and associating with and other artists that she was seeing. All those things sort of affect what an artist does at any given moment in time. So each artwork is a kind of time capsule if you can begin to unwind all the evidence that's there.
How long do you expect this entire process is going to take, Dale?
Right now, we expect that we'll spend probably an entire year to do both the preliminary research, the testing analysis that answers all those questions, helps us understand what has deteriorated and why, and then actually do the treatment. We expect that checking the archives and the preliminary research with documentation, photographs, and letters will take us at least 100 days. And then at that point, we'll have some better idea and begin the chemical and physical analysis, the actual testing of the artwork, to understand what it is chemically, what it is mechanically, what's adhering and what's not adhering, how the canvas is behaving, to really understand why paints are lifting, why cracks are opening. Those are the issues we really want to address. Because right now, it's just not safe enough to travel and exhibit without really resulting in paint loss or exasperation of those conditions.
You're using the pronoun we. So it's not you. It's you and
right.
A crew,
right. So we have librarians and archivists obviously, I'm working closely with our curator, Ariel Plotek, who really understands American art history and the historical context in which O'Keeffe was working at that time. It's working with chemists and other conservators to help me do various kinds of analysis, some of which we do in Santa Fe at the museum and some of which we have to contract out. And then there'll be a group of four conservators who will join me in actually carrying out that treatment. So it is a big team.
And you also have some interns working with you, so there's a bit of an educational element going on.
Right. I think an opportunity like this where postgraduate students can really understand how a museum approaches the preservation of its work over the long term and really trying to bring all the history of the work to bear in informing both an understanding of its condition and informing its treatment and its stabilization. Anytime you can share that large process with an intern, you really have to do it. You have an obligation as an educational institution to do that. And the museum is fundamentally an educational institution.
Do you expect that visitors to the museum a year from now will notice there is a difference in the painting if they had seen it previously?
That's a great question, Spencer, because most of the time I focus my work and my techniques on doing things that will not be visible, that will not create a difference, right? We really are trying to preserve everything that the artist put there that remains there at any given point in time. But in this case, there's some extensive staining from a roof leak that we believe occurred at the Abiquiu House. The Abiquiu House was a typical New Mexico adobe structure with a mud roof. That roof got occasionally breached, and so there's a history of roof leaks throughout the house, including where O'Keeffe had originally stored her paintings. So there is staining that we want to reduce. We want to get some of that soiling out of the image area. And then there are cracks that have lifted and have what we call propagated, gotten wider, gotten longer, and become soiled, that we would like to reduce the visual impact of those cracks and reintegrate the surface more visually. So we will reduce the visual appearance of a number of those cracks. So it will look different, absolutely.
Does this process involve any repainting, Dale?
Yeah, great question. I think most people ask that. When you restore a painting, or if there's a paint loss, or if the paint has somehow deteriorated, do you repaint that? And the answer is no, we don't do that. Our job is to take those losses and obviously reintegrate them so that there doesn't appear to be a large loss. Because if there is in a painting, particularly in O'Keeffe, where the surface is so continuous and so fluid, so kind of organically dynamic, a chunk of jagged paint missing is really obvious. So what we normally do is stabilize that area, fill that loss with a fill material that we can replicate the appearance of the surrounding paints, but never going on to the original paint. So that's called inpainting. And we're very careful to engineer the materials of that fill and that inpainting so that they are what we call subordinate to the original materials. And what I mean by that is that we never repair anything with materials that are somehow stronger, stiffer, less flexible, newer, essentially, than the remaining strength and characteristics of the original paint. Because the object will continue to be handled, will continue to vibrate in transit. And if anything has to give, we really want it to be our contemporary repair materials that gives and falls out and not additional original O'Keeffe work. So the fills are really designed to be subordinate, to be the first thing to fall out, to be the first thing to give. So there's a great deal of engineering that goes into that. So characteristically, the idea is to leave all the original materials alone and not to overpaint them. But to really only add paint and contemporary paint that's easy to tell from the original, if you were to get close enough, like under a microscope, and reintegrate the work visually without repainting it.
You mentioned something in passing. I want to go back and ask you about it. Does Georgia O'Keeffe's work present special challenges to a conservator?
It does. O'Keeffe knew an American conservator by the name of Caroline Keck, who was one of the founding members of Heritage and Art Conservation in the United States in 1946. And Caroline was working at the Museum of Modern Art in 1946. Early, Stieglitz was still alive. He hadn't passed until July of 46. And she was reviewing the works that were coming in for a large single artist retrospective at the Modern. And she saw three works that had been cleaned by their private owners and varnished. And O'Keefe said to the curator, words to the effect of, well, these three must be destroyed immediately. Please get a trash can and we'll cut them out of their stretchers and burn them. And then notify the owners that I'll simply replace them with works of similar value. You can imagine the curator was somewhat shocked by this idea and said, what do you find objectionable? And she said, well, you know, they've been varnished, and varnish saturates all the colors evenly. They've destroyed the differences that I put there in gloss and in matte and in translucency and opacity. All the things that were important for the viewer to experience are now gone. So the paintings are ruined. And he said, well, before we proceed, why don't I introduce you to the museum's conservator, who has been very successful at removing these varnishes. You might enjoy meeting her. And she met Caroline Keck. And Caroline told me that they then not only spent the rest of that morning discussing the three paintings, but then went back to O'Keefe and Stieglitz's apartment, cooked Stieglitz lunch, and continued their conversation about O'Keefe's paintings. And the real difficulty is that O'Keefe does deliberately and intentionally control all these qualities in oil paint. That is, translucency, opacity, value, matte, all the things that are either damaged by soiling and deterioration or can be obscured by applying a varnish. And O'Keefe explained to Keck how important all of those qualities were in each painting and how easy it was for them to be destroyed. O'Keefe herself destroyed at least 35 of her own paintings that she felt had become either so soiled or so altered that those qualities of paint passages just no longer read the way she had intended. So this is not an artist who felt that her work was precious. What was important was the visual communication she was trying to make with the viewer and how important having clear communication was. Caroline Keck was the first conservator to understand this concept, and all things that are sort of designed around the care of George O'Keefe paintings are designed with this understanding that the translucency, the opacity, the value, the matte qualities, the paint, the gloss qualities of paint, all those subtle differences in every single painting are intentional and important. That is what is to be preserved. And so it is not your usual clean off the soil and put a varnish coat on. It just simply does not apply to her.
That indicates to me that in 1946, the art of restoration was not advanced to a point enough that George O'Keefe would feel secure with somebody trying to restore a painting of hers. Is that correct?
I think that's very true. I think that there, it had been common practice since before the Renaissance that if a painting got soiled or got dirty, steps would be taken usually by a framer, but sometimes by an art restorer who worked in a guild and was trained in a guild practice. And guilds, you know, classically trained master to apprentice with the intention of keeping the information secret so that the guild members had special knowledge. And then varnish the painting to refresh it and resaturate it and make it look like new. And that tradition was still in place in New York in 1946 to a degree. But what had happened in the intervening years during and after World War II is that the modern profession of conservation had emerged with a public body of knowledge and a publicly accessible scientific-based analysis of paints and their deterioration. And then increasing attention to what the artist's intention was for that work so that a blanket treatment, a blanket cleaning, a blanket varnishing was simply inadequate if you had a nuanced understanding of what a painting was. And so that was – in 46, that was really beginning to shift. So you had O'Keefe's expectation of what had happened and a modern conservator's idea of what was possible coming together for the first time. And they stayed friends literally from 1946 until O'Keefe passed in 1986. They wrote to each other regularly, not just about conservation issues. And it was one of the few friendships that O'Keefe kept for that period of time.
I want to talk a little bit about the fact that you are opening this process up to the public.
Right.
How are you going to do that?
Our hope is that we'll do some ongoing blog posts, perhaps some real-time social media broadcasts where we're literally in front of the painting, midway through the process, talking about what we've discovered, what we found, what the analytical process has been, what our intention is to do in the conservation tasks and materials, and really involve the public, because it's a unique opportunity for us to learn about this painting. We want to share everything we learn as a process of the research. And we also want to take this opportunity that's been given to us by Bank of America's funding, because they are intent on public education, to begin to show the public how complex this process really is and why it is important to prevent damage from happening rather than simply repair it when it does.
Right. So it's an educational opportunity for visitors to the museum.
Absolutely. Visitors to the museum as well as visitors online. Right. I mean, we're hopeful that we can share this information with other museums around the world that have O'Keefe paintings, because it will inform their process as well. And then members of the public who are interested in either O'Keefe or in 20th century painting.
Right. Or in restoration.
Or in, yeah, exactly. We may spark an interest in children who end up doing what I'm doing right now.
Right. You said that this process is going to take a year. Has it started already?
We've just begun sort of the preliminary research in the archive to begin to build really what is a database of both materials, structures, and conditions that will inform us as to why this painting has deteriorated in the way that it has. So we've just begun that process quite literally November 1st. So that 100-day countdown to get the research done has started.
We're only a few days into that.
TikTok, yeah.
What do you say, Dale, this is a more general question, to people who object to the idea of restoring paintings at all?
Well, I sympathize with that, absolutely, in the sense that obviously what we are all hoping to see and learn from is what the artist put there as untouched and as unmodified or confused by modern materials and modern treatments as possible. I share that goal. Everything I'm doing is to try and remove things that have been put on historically and repair materials that do confuse things or are continuing to damage the surface, more importantly. But the fact is that both states, that is sort of the untouched, unrestored state with all the losses, perhaps with, you know, with all the years of dirt and soiling that's on it, will be accessible in the sense that we do an enormous amount of documentation. So we not only do normal sort of visual reflected full color photography, but we do 3D imaging. We do what's called multi-band, multi-specular imaging. So we gather chemical and physical data about it using digital imaging in the infrared, in the transmitted infrared, in the ultraviolet, to document exactly what the work is like. And when we remove all the layers of previous treatments, what is left of the original. So if somebody wanted to see what the fully aged, untouched appearance of the painting without any visual integrations of losses and damages looks like, that is accessible. That's there and can always be seen, both in 3D and in full color and in all other ways analytically. But for the public to really get an idea of what O'Keefe was after and what she insisted upon in her own paintings, that is to say that her instructions to Keck and the conservators that followed Keck was very specific. She did not want obvious damages to draw the viewer's eye away from the fluid brushstrokes and scrubbing brushstrokes that she had put there. She herself was interested in the concept of synesthesia, the ability to see an object but perhaps hear a rhythm or hear a melody or hear a conflicting, a non-harmonious chord and begin to experience an artwork in all the senses rather than just the visual sense. All those qualities in paint were part of her trying to communicate that experience. And she was very adamant in the care and treatment of her own paintings that if there was a large crack, if there was a crease, if there was a stain or damage, it had to be removed or the work would simply be destroyed because it interrupted the experience she was trying to complete. So I'm sympathetic with both points of view. I know what O'Keeffe wanted, and I understand what art historians and art connoisseurs are interested in seeing. And so in the course of treatment, we try and provide both.
Is it accurate to say that your objective here is to create the painting just as Georgia O'Keeffe stepped back from it in 1948 and said, this is finished?
Right. Probably not. And that's probably not possible. The materials and the structures have aged to the point where there really is no going back to the moment that she stepped back from the easel and saw it whole and completed for the first time. What we hope to do is to diminish the most distracting of those cracks and those losses so that the eye doesn't rest upon a damaged area and instead continues to move dynamically as she had intended, moves across the surface, rests upon intersections of forms, and then continues to flow and move. That really is intent, without trying to obscure and disguise every instance of damage. We simply can't do it. There's just no practical way to make it invisible. So the damages will still be there. There will still be cracks visible. But hopefully raised cracks won't be so out of plane. There's a thing that happens when somebody pokes an oil painting with their finger or with their visitor guide or with a pencil, what have you. But the minute there's a point collision with oil paint, a series of concentric rings occur in cracks around that point as the paint has to deflect back from being pushed in, and the paint, being a brittle film, has to crack in order to do that. So it does this in this series of concentric rings. And there are three of these concentric rings that have raised and are in the painting. And when you are standing in front of the painting, you can't but help see these little targets, if you will, on the surface of the painting. It's not that they're a different color. It's simply that they have raised in this pattern of cracked paint. Those we hope to diminish because your eye absolutely does rest on them. And she would have completely objected to that. So we don't want those kinds of rhythmic damages to stand out. We will likely leave random damages that don't form a visual pattern because the eye doesn't record those. The eye doesn't rest upon those.
Wow. This is going to be very interesting for the public to follow your process for the next year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to do it, obviously. And the staff is very excited to learn more about this painting. So we are excited to share it.
The Georgia O'Keeffe Museum's conservator, Dale Cronkrite, is leading a restoration of O'Keeffe's 1948 painting, Spring. And the public can follow the process online at O'KeeffeMuseum.org. Details and more from Dale at KUNM.org. Dale, thank you so much for joining me.
Spencer, thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.